Before we start, let me go ahead and pray, and then we will look at some passages for this evening. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to sing songs of praise. Be reminded of what happened over 2,000 years ago. You sent your Son, who created and spoke this world into existence, who joyfully and eternally exists with you, Father and Holy Spirit, who willingly and joyfully submitted himself to take upon himself the limitations of man and becoming one of us. Mistreated, had no home, crucified for something that he did not do, buried in a borrowed tomb, but in the end, you had the final say, for he is risen. And oh Father, it is Good Friday because it anticipates the coming of what is to come on Sunday. That it doesn't end in the tomb, but you saying, I will come back. I'm going away to prepare a place. And that is what we just sang of that glorious day when we will no longer be hindered by this sin-cursed world, by our sin-cursed bodies. Instead, we will worship you completely and fully with great joy, serving one another because we love you. And we are grateful for what you have done. I pray that tonight, Lord, we will give us a little glimpse of why your Son came to die. May you bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I titled this evening's message, if you will, Meditations on the Cross. Meditations on the Cross. And as you are familiar, we are here because today is Good Friday. But some have asked, and I've been one of those main ones who have asked that before, why is it called Good Friday? Because what happened to Christ and the way he was treated, it doesn't sound good. Well, why is it called Good Friday? All the stuff that we just read in Mark chapter 15, you would not wish that upon anybody. Why is it called Good Friday? Well, it is called Good Friday because it celebrates God's culminating plan of salvation to save his people from their sin. It is called Good Friday because that day is where wrath and mercy met together, where the full wrath of God was satisfied on the cross so that God might be merciful to sinners like you and me. That is why it's called Good Friday. It started early in the church to remember really the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It refers to the Friday before Resurrection Sunday. And it became more of an established practice in the late 4th century. Much was done during this time. It usually was called, this whole week was called Holy Week. But Good Friday was also Good Friday because of what it anticipated. It anticipated that what was done on Friday didn't end on Friday. It was completed on Sunday. It is called Good Friday because it anticipated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how we want to approach today. This is how we want to view today. To set aside some time for us to reflect and to think about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ in view of his coming resurrection. And so tonight we're going to look at briefly a question. We're going to answer a question. Why did Jesus come to die? Why did Jesus come to die? And we're going to look at some passages that we are very familiar with. And that's the danger, though. The fact that we are familiar with such passages poses a danger. We can see those passages that we're so familiar with as just the preliminary. That is to get to the good stuff. But Christ himself alone is not only the good stuff, but the best. I had to ask my own heart in preparing for this evening. Though my time is definitely limited for this evening, it's supposed to be a meditation on preaching, on the cross. I had to ask myself, why do these truths don't move me to worship like they used to? Why, when I read them, I say, okay, let's move on. And I would ask you even those same kind of questions. Do these truths move you to worship? When I ask that question of my own self, what I've discovered is this, possibly that I have grown to love the gifts more than the giver. So this is why we need this service. That God will grip our hearts and orient our affections back to our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so why did Jesus come to die? I'm going to give you this evening four reasons, and they're going to be really fast. But there are four reasons. There are more than those reasons. As a matter of fact, John Piper wrote a book, 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came to Die. And I would recommend that you would get that book as a great meditation on the cross. 50 reasons why. We're going to only look at four. And he really was one of the ones that I drew a lot from. All the quotes that come from for this evening's message come from Piper in 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came and Died. We're only going to look at four this evening. First, Jesus came to die to satisfy the wrath of God. Jesus came to die to satisfy the wrath of God. The Bible proclaims that God is a holy God. When Isaiah went to the temple, he saw the Lord. And he heard the angels saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The temple is filled with his glory." That was the designation that God is himself distinct from all his creation. He not only is distinct, he is separate. He stands alone in a class by himself. And as such, he can't have anything to do with sin or sinful people. And until we see our sin in light of that holy God, none of us will ever stand in awe of why Jesus came. None of us will submit to him, because what we would think is, we don't really need him. I can do it on my own. I can live up to his standard. But his standard is himself, perfection. And because God is holy and just, he must punish sin. There is a holy wrath against all sinners, and they must be punished, for the wages of sin is death, says the Apostle Paul. The justice of God demands punishment, and to not do so would be to be an unjust God, an unjust judge, and therefore no longer God. However, God is also loving. And what we could never do in ourselves, he did by sending his son to satisfy the wrath. 1 John 4:10 tells us this. It says, "In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Here the Apostle John is defining for the believers what love truly is. It is not how we feel about God, but what God has accomplished in His Son. There's a very neat word in this passage. It's a beautiful word. It's the word propitiation. It's a simple word, but it is profound. It is a word that means basically satisfaction. It speaks of the wrath that we deserve was poured out upon Christ on the cross, and God's demands, His just demands, were fully and completely, once for all, satisfied in Christ. God did not look over sin. Instead, He sent His Son to pay the price. Piper says this, the substitute is provided by God Himself. The substitute, Jesus Christ, does not just cancel the wrath. He absorbs it and diverts it from us to Himself. God's wrath is just, and it was spent, not withdrawn. And that is what John says to the believers about Jesus Christ. Jesus upheld the justice and love of God for His people. This is why He came, to satisfy the wrath of God. Number two, Jesus came to die to become a ransom for many. A ransom for many. When Jesus wanted to teach His disciples about servant leadership, having had already just before them laid out what's going to happen to Him as He heads to Jerusalem, they began to have a discussion who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom to come. And so Jesus takes this opportunity and He lays out before them what true servant leadership is. And He pointed ultimately to Himself. In Mark 10:45, we read this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." And that word ransom is a beautiful word. It is a word that occurs both in the Old Testament and New Testament. And it has the same idea. The idea there is of buying something back. It refers to the price paid to buy a slave back or a prisoner back. And so when Jesus says that He came to give His life as a ransom for many, He's talking about Himself, of giving Himself willingly and joyfully His life as the only payment that you and I need to buy us back who were enslaved to sin for His Father's glory. Jesus paid the price with His own blood to free us from the just condemnation of God. Piper says this, "The ransom price of this release from God's condemnation is the life of Christ. And not just His life lived, but His life given up in death." Without Jesus' death, you and I would still be enslaved to our sin and under its dominion and mastery. Without Jesus' death, we would remain under the just condemnation of God. And if you were to perish in that way, you would spend eternity in hell forever. But the fact is that Jesus came to die to become a ransom for many, to buy His people from the sin market so that He would take what is condemned, unholy, and make it a vessel and display of His great mercy. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to die to become a ransom for many. Number three, Jesus came to die for the forgiveness of our sins. And you would say to yourself, well, of course. That isn't that what the whole resurrection, isn't that what the cross was all about? Yes, absolutely. But remember, oftentimes we just skip that. If forgiveness implies that we have broken and violated God's standard, which is namely Himself. There is no standard that He sets. He is the standard. God is the standard. Forgiveness shows that we have violated Him. The word forgiveness really means to send away, to release. When it's referring to sin, it speaks of the pardon of sin. That is, that the charges and the consequences are released. They're sent away. But it also includes a promise. When God forgives people for their sin, He promises that He will never hold our sins against us. Giving to the nation of Israel the promise of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31, He says this, "For I will forgive their iniquities and their sins I will remember no more." Part of the new covenant is the fact that there was going to be one who would come in and who would satisfy the full demands of God, that through this one Messiah, there would be forgiveness of sin. This is a promise of pardon from God. And it is only possible because of what Jesus did on the cross. In Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul is recounting to the Ephesians the glorious salvation that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all involved to bring about your salvation and mine. He says this about Christ, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." The reason why God drops the charges, He drops the sentencing, is not because He sweeps it under the rug and treats it as inconsequential. The reason why He does that is because another took your place. And He punished him on the cross. He poured His wrath. When Christ called, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That is the first time you ever see Christ in the Gospels address His Father in that way. The cup of wrath that He was praying in the garden, "Oh Lord, if there were be another way, let it pass. But not my will, your will be done." That cup of wrath was poured out every single drop upon Christ. That's why we're forgiven. That's why Jesus came. Piper says, "Forgiveness costs us nothing. All of our costly obedience is the fruit, not the root, of being forgiven. And that's why we call it grace. But it cost Jesus His life. And that's why we call it just." Oh, how precious is the news that God does not hold our sins against us. And how beautiful is Christ, whose blood made it right for God to do this. Jesus came to die for the forgiveness of our sins. And finally, fourth reason, Jesus came to die to enable us to live for Him and not ourselves. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, "He died," speaking of Christ, "for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised." Oftentimes when people are sharing the gospel, when people are preaching the gospel, they preach it in such a way that they bring all the benefits of Christ at the forefront. If you trust Christ, you will have peace in your life. If you trust Christ, you will have all the help of the body of Christ. If you trust Christ, you will never be alone. And those statements are true. The problem is they're in the wrong order. They give the impression that Christ is here for you. They give the impression that Christ came to be one's magical genie. And he is not. It makes one believe that the gospel is all about him and not Christ. And Jesus came to make much of me. When this does not happen, then what happens in their lives? When they don't see all the workings, when they don't see the peace. What about the prosperity that you promised me? What about the good life, the health? Instead, when health fails, instead when finances fail, when all falls apart, you know what they say? Well, I've tried Christ, and he didn't work. But Christ, according to that passage, says that Jesus came to die so that we would make much of him. That we would boast of him. The fact that we have Christ and Christ alone, the fact that we have forgiveness of our sins is enough. If he never gave us anything, if he would but take our life at that moment, we would have it all. But he didn't. He wanted you and I to behold his glory so that we would put it on display in our lives. Piper says this, what Christ died for is not that we might help him, but that we might see and savor him as infinitely valuable. He died to wean us from the poisonous pleasures and enthrall us with the pleasures of his beauty. Later on, he says, Jesus said to his disciples that he had to go away so that he could send the Holy Spirit, the Helper. Then he told them what the Helper would do when he comes. He will glorify me. Christ died and rose so that we would see and magnify him. This is the greatest help in the world. This is love. The most loving prayer Jesus ever prayed was this: Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory. John 17:24. For this Christ died. This is love. Suffering to give us everlasting enjoyment, namely himself. End quote. Christ Jesus came to die to enable us to live for him and not ourselves. And that is a great reminder as we come together, as we remember the cross. Yes, he came to forgive us of our sins. Yes, all the other truths that we read in Scripture of why Christ came are also true. But they are not just so that we would entertain them in our mind. They are there to transform our lives. To be able to proclaim the very one who deserves all worship. My friend, this is why we were designed. This is why we were created. For his glory. This is why we exist. This is why it's called Good Friday. Because what could never have been done on our own strength, on our own merit, to make us right with God, Christ did willingly and joyfully to the glory of his Father and the benefit of his people. We just saw a glimpse of the love of God displayed in Christ for you, his people. However, If you have never repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ, if you have never trusted in Him, everything that I just said does not apply to you. You are still under God's wrath. You are still a slave to sin. You are still in your sins, and you will be punished for your sins. And you are still living for self. And many people would say, well, that is great freedom. It is not. It is slavery to the nth degree. And those who live for themselves die for themselves and will be punished for all eternity in hell. And so I plead with you this evening that you would repent and that you would submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would call upon Him to forgive you of your sin, that He will be the Lord and Master of your life, because that's why Jesus came. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the reminder of why your Son came. Thank you for the joy it is to be one of your people. Not because we deserve it, not because you are obligated to do that to us. Not because we are mighty and more noble and because we are more faithful, but simply to display your infinite grace and mercy, so that you alone will be treasured and worshipped by your people. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the work that your Son did on our behalf. It is to Him that we bring all praise, all honor, and all glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.